Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, we trust that you've had a good week, and we just finished up our yearly revival services. And, of course, it's always such a great time of refocusing on the Lord and His Word. And we're going to be posting those messages to our website in the near future. So keep an eye out there for them, and be sure and download and listen to those once they're available. Again, our website is independencebaptist.org. Now, before too much time slips away, we do need to go ahead and get started with this morning's message. So here is Pastor Wayne Reynolds talking about the two different kinds of repentance.
This morning, I'd like to read the book of 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9 through verse number 10, as we think on the subject, true and false repentance. The Bible says here in this place, in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing." In verse number 10, the Bible said here, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death." Notice in this place that Paul mentions that there's two kinds of repentance. There's the kind of repentance that is good. There's the kind of repentance that is godly. He says in verse number 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." But there's another kind of, we might call it repentance, that people do. The Bible said in verse number 10, "But the sorrow of the world worketh death." You know, it's one thing to have a change of mind, and that's really what repentance is, toward God. But there's another kind of repentance altogether, that we want to be right before men. That's a legal repentance. That's a false repentance. That's not a heavenly repentance. Somebody would say, "Well, I was embarrassed when I saw my error." Listen, that is an earthly repentance. You see, there is a legal repentance that does not lead to salvation at all. There is a difficulty that we have because sometimes when we mess up, we cannot fix it at all. We might ask the question, "What can I do that I might be restored to my former status?" But all of these things are not a godly repentance. Now, notice what Paul is writing about. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, Paul is writing in this place about the first letter that he wrote to them. The book of 1 Corinthians is a totally different letter than the book of 2 Corinthians. If you've never read either of these books, it would be good for you just to sit down and just to read these books so you would understand that Paul went before the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians with a lot of issues, questions that they had. And he answered those questions in a godly manner. But in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul had a different attitude about it altogether. Because in 2 Corinthians, he talked to them as a loving father talks to them. And he encourages them on the way. Let me read to you some of this. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, and verse number 8, the Bible said here, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season." And so Paul is encouraging these people in the fact that they have repented, truly repented of their actions, and that they have changed the way they want to do things. When a person has true repentance, they really want to change the things that they have been doing. But notice in verse number 11, the Bible said, "For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort." There was a sorrow that the people had because they had done wrong. But in the book of 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 11, they were sorrowing after a godly sort. And then Paul mentions all of the things that these people were very much concerned with. He says, "What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. And so Paul is encouraging these people by the way that they repented themselves. But listen, there's also a false repentance. There's a kind of repentance that does not give anybody any kind of relief at all. I want you to be encouraged today that if you really repent toward God, that you will act different. If you really repent toward God, you will actually be different. You cannot repent toward God and stay exactly the same as you were before. There must be a change. Notice that there was a kind of repentance that Judas had. Judas Iscariot was one of the Lord's apostles, one that the Lord had chosen. But I believe that the Lord chose Judas for our example, that we might really understand what true repentance is as opposed to a false repentance. In the book of Matthew 27 and verse number 3, we find this reading after Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in verse number 3 in Matthew 27, "And Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went, and hanged himself." Judas did not have the right kind of repentance. Although Judas did change his mind, he did not have the right kind of repentance. You see, the Bible says that there's a great deal of difference between a person that sins and really, truly repents, and a person that simply has a change of mind about himself. Notice, as we compare Judas with the Apostle Peter, in Matthew 27 and verse number 75, the Bible records this of the Apostle Peter. After he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times in a row, the Bible said in verse number 74, of Matthew 26, that when Jesus began to look at him, and then the cock crew, the Bible said here in verse 75, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Listen, there's a difference between real repentance, the kind of repentance that the Apostle Peter experienced, and the kind of repentance that Judas Iscariot had. There's a difference in the two. We want you to have the right kind of repentance. Judas had a sorrow of the world, which finalized in him committing suicide. But the Apostle Peter, he had godly repentance, and this caused him to go out and to weep bitterly because he knew that he had denied the innocent blood. He knew that. Judas also knew that he had betrayed the innocent blood, but Judas's repentance was altogether different than the Apostle Peter's. Listen, think about this just a second. The Apostle Peter had to confess before men that he had repented, right? Judas did too. But Judas refused to do that. Judas could not go before men and repent. But the Apostle Peter, he evidently did that. Because on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the message, and 3,000 Jews were saved on that day. But Judas, he couldn't do that at all. Judas simply went out and hung himself. He couldn't stand himself. The fact that he had betrayed the innocent blood was more than he could ever bear. Listen, we want you to be more like Peter and less like Judas. We want you, if you're lost, to see that Jesus Christ is the only one that can really wash away your sins. We want you to trust in Jesus Christ. We want you to repent of what you are. Remember, the repent actually means to have another mind toward. That's really what repentance really means. Look it up and find out for yourself what repentance means, that you're having another mind about yourself. You're having another mind toward God. You're looking to Him and to Him alone. But Judas could not do that. Judas could not have another mind about himself. He instead went and hung himself. The Bible says that very clearly about him. Notice, in the book of Matthew 21, what the Bible says here as Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they ask him a question, by what authority do you do all of these things that you're doing? And who gave you this authority to do all these things? And Jesus, as is very typical of him, Jesus says, well, I will answer you, but first I want you to answer a question for me. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or a man? Well, these Pharisees and these Sadducees, they knew that they were hung. They knew that if they answered from heaven, that he will say to them, well, why didn't you believe him? But if they said, well, it's of men, because we fear the people, for all men hold John as a prophet. And so they didn't know what to answer. And so finally they said, we can't tell you. We don't know the answer. And Jesus said, well, I won't answer the question for you that you asked me either. But what think you about this one? A certain man, in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 21, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go today to work in my vineyard. The son answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And verse number 30. And he came to the second son and said unto him, I want you to go today and work in my vineyard. And the second son answered and said, I go, sir. But he didn't go. In verse 31, Jesus Christ said, which of these two really did the will of his Father? And they said unto him, the first. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Notice what Jesus continues to say here in verse 32. He said, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. The key to repentance here is found in verse 32, that when they had seen it, when these Pharisees, when these Sadducees, when they had seen that the harlots and the publicans came to Christ, and they repented, and they believed in him, then they saw. But they didn't turn at all. This is the difference between true and false repentance. You see, the irreversible link between repentance and faith in Christ. It is impossible for anybody to say they repent without having faith. It's also impossible for a person to say they have faith without repenting of what they are and turning unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas also saw this, but Judas refused to confess. You see, repentance involves a turning from sin and a turning toward faith and trust in Christ for forgiveness and lasting fellowship. It is impossible to believe in Christ without a turning from sin, and that is repentance. That's what it is. Evangelical or true repentance is accompanied by godly sorrow and is wrought in the heart of the regenerating Spirit of God. It is evangelical repentance. This means that a person has a change of mind about offending God that we are preaching about in this message. We want you to understand the real definition of what repentance really is. It is to have another mind about yourself. It is to have another mind toward serving God. It is to have a 180 degree turn. You are going toward hell by yourself because you believe you're doing the right thing. But you're going to wind up in hell. But true repentance is when you see where you're going and you turn toward God and you trust God instead of trusting yourself. That's a 180 turn. Absolutely, that's the way it is. That's why that John the Baptist demanded of the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Matthew 3 and verse number 8, when he said to them, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." John the Baptist refused to baptize those people. Why? Because baptism doesn't save. Baptism is only administered after that a person is truly born again. That's why John wouldn't baptize those Pharisees and Sadducees that came to him desiring baptism. He said to them, "Bring forth therefore fruits that are suitable, that are meet for repentance." Notice, in this final part of the message today, that true repentance involves three parts. It involves the body, it involves the soul, and it also involves the spirit. True repentance is all three. Godly salvation changes a person completely and totally. They are not the way that they used to be. Godly salvation changes a person's attitude, changes a person's thoughts, changes a person's motives. It changes everything about a person because their mind is then on the things of God and holiness and righteousness. It is not on the things of this world at all. This world will pass away. But the things of God will never, ever pass away. Because they are things of righteousness. They are things of holiness. They are things of eternity. They are things of truth. Notice, first of all, that sin must be admitted. Remember also that Judas and Peter both admitted their guilt. This is conviction. This is the intellectual element in repentance. Both Peter and Judas had this. You see, men must see themselves as unlike God and in rebellion against God. Judas and Peter both saw that they had sinned in the sight of Almighty God. That's exactly what they saw about themselves. They must see that there is an opposition between their condition and the holiness of God. And you must see exactly the same thing. The person that has an intellectual element in repentance must also see and understand that God actually hates their condition. The recognition of sin that enters into repentance unto salvation is concerned primarily not with the fact that sin brings punishment, but with the fact that sin offends God. in this part of repentance, both Judas and the Apostle Peter saw that they had sinned against God. There is, of course, a fear of the eternal consequences of sin, but this is not the primary thing. Recognition of sin is conviction, and it constitutes the intellectual element in repentance. This intellectual element of sin is produced by the internal working of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God does that. The Holy Spirit of God uses the explanation of sin and the declaration of the gospel to produce true conviction. Now please understand that both Judas and Peter had elements of this kind of repentance. It was in their body. This is the way that it is. But sin must be abhorred. You say both men did abhor their sin, and that is true. Judas and Peter both hated their sin. This is the emotional element in repentance. Both of these men had this. Godly sorrow, you see, enters into repentance. When someone sees themselves, as he appears before God, he is brought to regret his sin and to abhor it. This is the emotional element in repentance. Understand that this is so. So there must be these two parts. But then we find that sin must be abandoned. Peter, you see, not only abandoned his sin, but he also confessed his sin to others. This is conversion. This is the spirit part of it. Peter knew that he had sinned against God. Judas also knew that he had sinned against God, but Judas did not confess before men. This is the difference. Peter did, however, confess before men, and he preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were added unto the Lord. Repentance, you see, is not complete until there is an inward abandoning of sin, which leads to an outward change of conduct. This is the voluntary element in repentance. Thus, repentance concerns the whole inner nature. It concerns not only the intellect. It concerns not only the emotional part of men, but also concerns the will of men. It concerns a place where that Peter had to come before the other apostles and confess his sin. This is absolutely necessary. But Peter had to come before God and confess before God. The Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. This is what godly repentance will lead any individual to do. Not only to confess before men, but even more important than that is to confess before Almighty God. Because God is our judge. God is our Savior. He's our King. He's the one that we worship. He's the one that we sing unto. He's the one that we dedicate our lives to being faithful to. He's our master. We dedicate ourselves unto him. You see, repentance is inward. While true repentance always manifests itself outwardly, yet repentance of itself is inward. This is according to the meaning of repentance. And repentance actually means to have another mind toward ourself and toward God. This is what it really is talking about. The scriptures distinguish between repentance, the inward turning from sin, and the turning toward Jesus Christ and his eternal forgiveness, and fruits worthy of repentance, that is, the outward manifestation of repentance. This is why John the Baptist clearly stated in Matthew 3 and verse number 8, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." And what was John really requiring here? He required the people to just come and tell that they were now believers in Jesus Christ, that they trusted Christ, that they realized, that they understood that they were sinners before Almighty God. And God can wash away all of their sin and make them whole and clean and pure. Jesus Christ can do exactly the same thing for you. If you will confess before Jesus Christ that you are a sinner in His sight, that you are wrong before God, that you deserve hell, that you deserve punishment, that you deserve that eternally, God in His grace and God in His righteousness can forgive you. Salvation is a gift that God gives. Salvation is not a gift that I give, but salvation is a gift that comes from Almighty God. He is the one that washes away your sins. He's the one that forgives you today. If you're lost, I pray that you might just come to Jesus Christ and trust Him today. Salvation is not in a church. Rather, salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can ever wash away your sins. If you're lost today, just confess before God that you're lost. Repent. That is, have another mind towards yourself. But always know and understand this, that God wants your whole life to be dedicated to Him. You know, sometimes just giving up and trusting only in the Lord Jesus Christ, not trusting any kind of work that you ever do at all, is sometimes a very scary thing. But I tell you, there is hope only in Jesus Christ. If you will just confess today that you are a lost, helpless, hell-bound, deserving to go sinner, Jesus Christ will give you eternal life. Eternal life is a gift that God freely gives to you. He freely gives this to anybody that just trusts in Him and Him alone. But the person that wants to hang on to something that they do will be lost. Listen, what Jesus Christ wants each of us to do is just to dedicate ourselves to Him and Him alone. And Jesus Christ can give you brand new life. He can give you eternal life. That's our prayer for you, that God would bless you with eternal life. We pray for you every day. Won't you know that? We pray that God would bless you, that God would encourage you, that God would put a burden upon you, that you might read His Word and understand for yourself that God is the one and the only one that can ever wash away your sins. I'm thankful today that His blood that He shed freely for me on the cross of Calvary has done its job. But I pray for you that if you're lost, that Jesus Christ would give you eternal life as well.
Well, thank you, Brother Wayne, for this morning's message. You know, we sometimes forget that the same word can often have two different meanings. And I think the best example you gave this morning was how Judas seems to have repented when he betrayed Christ. Yet his repentance didn't bring godly sorrow in him. We don't see him repent and turn to God. It was just not what we see in him. And may we truly be repentant when we find ourselves in sin, a kind of repentance that brings us back to Christ, not pushes us further away. And I pray that the lost sinners that might be hearing the sound of our voice today even might see their need of Jesus Christ and might have this true repentance and trust in Christ, and that we might see a total change in those lives. Now, as we come down to the close of the broadcast today, we do want to remind you that this message and many more are available on our website at independencebaptist.org. And finally, we want to invite you to attend services with us this morning. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. We're going to be starting services at 10 a.m. Well, we do want to thank you for listening, and we look forward to talking with you again next Sunday at 8 a.m.